with the 32nd pick in the NFL draft, the Philadelphia Eagles select.
You're listening to the Journey to the Draft podcast.
It's the eve of the 2018 NFL draft, and we are proud to bring you the Reporter Mock Draft Extravaganza edition of the Journey to the Draft podcast. Yes, it is here. I'm Chris McPherson, joined alongside Fran Duffy. Fran, the emotions as Thursday quickly approaches.
I mean, it's Christmas Eve. It is Christmas Eve. It is Christmas Eve in April. It's our fifth mock draft, extravaganza.
Wow.
We did the first one back in 2014. This is our fifth one. We've changed it a little bit over the years.
We have.
I made it a little bit easier to handle on the production side, but still a really fun exercise. And no year has it been more fun than this one because we've had to mock 31 picks before
That's
the Eagles selection.
The
so it's been fun to track and see how this all went.
So this is our second podcast already this week. If you haven't already, make sure to check out the Tony Pauline Draft Buzz, where he just throws bombshell after bombshell about every big name, every big storyline leading into Thursday night and really all of draft weekend. We greatly appreciate all the support that you've given us, whether it's on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, wherever you consume our podcasts. Make sure to stay tuned with us all weekend long. We're not going to have a podcast until Monday, where we recap what the Eagles do in the 2018 NFL draft, and we'll probably hit on some of the key storylines as well. But Eagles Draft Central, presented by Deaton Watson, comes your way whether you're on PhiladelphiaEagles.com, the app, social media channels at 7 p.m. on Thursday. I'll be co-hosting with Dave Spadaro. Fran, you'll be doing a film room segment, all
yes.
22, looking at some of the defensive players who could be in line for the Eagles at number 32. We have a lot of great guests, exclusive interviews with Harry Roseman and Joe Douglas. And then all weekend long, so whenever the Eagles make a pick or are on the clock, that's pretty much when we go into action. So if you come to the site, you come to the app, after the Eagles make a pick or trade on Thursday night, whatever they do at 32, or if they move up, we will be live because Harry Roseman, Joe Douglas, Doug Peterson, they'll all address the media. We'll have instant reaction and analysis. We'll try to get the player on the phone. We'll have some special guests lined up. So pretty much you're going to be just glued to social media all weekend long following our coverage of the 2018 NFL Draft on Eagles Draft Central presented by Deaton Watson. So, Fran, should we get into this
that time.
Mock draft
that time.
Extravaganza? And we're going to kick things off at the top.
Now it's time for Draft Buzz.
With the first pick in the 2018 NFL Draft, Reporter Mock Draft Extravaganza, Mary Kay Cabot from Cleveland.com. You can follow her on Twitter at Mary Kay Cabot. Does a job of selecting a quarterback, Josh Allen out of Wyoming.
And I think it's important to note as well that we asked all of the people that we talked to select these players based off who they think the team will pick.
Correct.
Not off of who they themselves would pick. So it's very interesting. As of Monday afternoon when we talked, when you spoke with her, that it was Josh Allen. That was the pick.
So Allen, this is her reasoning. Allen is arguably the most upside potential in the draft. Big arm, size, mobility. He's addressed the accuracy issues enough to see that with another year of developing, he can be something special. At one point, the Browns considered Saquon Barkley, but in the end, they haven't taken a quarterback above number 22 since 1999. It's hard to believe.
It is hard to believe because they're always at the top.
I didn't fact check this. This is straight from Mary Kay, and she's the best when it comes to covering the Browns. Yeah, so I'm not going to doubt her, but it's like
number 22 was Johnny Manziel, right?
That's
99 was Couch.
So that's what, so since then it would have been Manziel, yes,
right.
When the Eagles traded out.
Whedon
yes.
was, I guess, after that.
And then, probably the same range, but yeah, those
yeah,
late
right
20s.
The 20s.
So that makes sense. But so number one off the board, Josh Allen is the first of the quarterbacks and all the players to go in the 2018 NFL Draft.
So with Josh Allen off the board, I reached out to Dan Dugan, who covers the New York Giants for The Athletic. You can follow him on Twitter at ddugan, D-U-G-G-A-N 21. And he selected, with no ability to trade out.
Correct.
He selected running back Saquon Barkley. He thinks they should, in his opinion, they should take a quarterback, but he does not think that they will. And obviously with this case and not being able to trade back, it seems like Some people do think that they're going to trade back. Obviously, won't find out for another 36 hours or so. But this is the pivotal pick, C-Mac. We all know it's going to be one of these quarterbacks that go number one, and who that quarterback is will change how the dominoes fall. But this is the pivotal moment. Like, this is the point where it's like, all right, is there going to be a run on these quarterbacks in the top five or not?
I mean, it also could depend on who really goes number one. I mean, that certainly could change the equation as well, because there have been rumblings that if Sam Darnold isn't the pick at number one to the Browns, maybe then the Giants do take a quarterback. But
which that's what it is. Well, that's what happens in this case, and Dan believes that they're not. So I think that's always interesting.
That's why I love the reporter, and these are the reporters who are entrenched with the teams day in and day out. All right, so number three, the New York Jets. Manish Mehta from the New York Daily News. You can follow him on Twitter at mmehta, NYDN.
Philly native,
yes. So runs to the podium for the Jets and takes – not Baker Mayfield.
Yep.
Takes Sam Darnold. Says the Baker Mayfield Josh Rosen debate becomes moot when the best quarterback in the draft falls in gangrene's lap. Darnold's leadership and innate ability to sense and elude pressure makes him a tantalizing prospect. The Jets are keeping their fingers crossed that this USC signal caller works out better than the last one that they drafted in the first round.
Great explanation from Manish.
Yes.
Outstanding. So this goes to what your point about who goes number one then affects how these dominoes fall. No one expects Sam Darnold to be there at three. In this scenario, he is.
Indeed.
And it would be silly if the Giants had Sam Darnold on their plate and they decided to either pass on him or trade. Here we are.
Or they don't. If Sam Darnold falls to number two and
they
Giants
select a player that's not him.
If they stay and select someone.
Yeah.
That's why it's really exciting. This is really the most intriguing opening to a draft. I mean, there's been uncertainty. Every year there's some uncertainty at the top of the draft. But it seems like because it's all quarterbacks and because teams are not afraid to trade up, it seems like more than ever, it seems like it's going to be really exciting and thrilling, especially this early part of the draft right here.
Eagles fans are worried about, Saquon Barkley to the Giants. They're at number two. They're going to get a great player. Obviously, best case scenario for Eagles fans is that whoever the Giants select at number two busts, right? He's not a good player. That's best case scenario. But if all these guys turn out to be good players, the best case scenario is that they select Saquon Barkley.
Correct. I wholeheartedly
over a talented pass rusher like Chubb, over one of these quarterbacks. If the best that they can get out of this is a really, really good running back, I think you take that as a win.
Exactly. Especially with that offensive line.
Yes.
That Barkley
exactly
would be
right
behind. So, number four, okay, going back to Mary Kay once again, pairing up arguably the best overall prospect in this year's draft class.
Arguably, yep.
People think it's Barkley, some people Quentin Nelson. Well, how about edge rusher Bradley Chubb from NC State and pairing him with Myles Garrett for years to come? So, Cleveland comes out of this with a franchise quarterback, potential franchise quarterback, and another stud edge rusher. They should win a game this year.
They should.
So, good pick. So, right there, exactly.
Yeah, good pick at four.
All right, so number five.
So number five, I talked with Ben Albright with 104.7 FM out in Denver. You can follow him on Twitter, at AlbrightNFL. He told me that if Baker Mayfield is there, he is the pick. And that is what happens in this scenario. Obviously, Baker Mayfield, a lot of people feel he's going to go number three to the Jets. If Baker Mayfield is there, that he is the pick, and that is who he believes they would select. There in that slot. Now, if Baker is not there, which we assume that he's not going to be there at number five, but if Baker Mayfield is not there, he feels like that they would trade out of that spot. So you look for Denver as a possible trade down, Buffalo, Miami, Arizona. Mm-hmm. Or if they couldn't execute a trade down, you'd look at it, one of the three players that we've talked about in the top of the draft. So this isn't necessarily groundbreaking, but Quentin Nelson, Roquan Smith, or Denzel Ward there at number five.
Interesting that with linebacker, you kind of get a sense of who's going to be picked first. Same with cornerback.
Roquan and Denzel, yep.
Indeed. So top five, Josh Allen, Saquon, Darnold, Chubb to the Browns, and Baker Mayfield to Denver Broncos, which is just – it's interesting because I do like – the fit, but you've just committed to Case Keenum
for a couple of years. Yep.
And there are players, I think it was Chris Harris, Pro Bowl corner, who said, we want to win now.
Yep.
Don't take a quarterback. at number five. So we'll have to wait and see there. All right, number six, Stephen Holder covers the Indianapolis Colts for the Indianapolis Star. You can follow him on Twitter at Holder Stephen, S-T-E-P-H-E-N. And he goes with some protection for Andrew Luck in the form of Quentin Nelson. Nelson feels like a very safe pick at number six, Holder said, even though he's a guard, not usually considered a premium position, but I think we're seeing that change in the league, Fran. But Nelson would firm up the offensive line ahead of the anticipated return of quarterback Andrew Luck and make the unit relatively formidable as center Ryan Kelly is returning as well. If you need a dark horse pick, it would be Virginia Tech linebacker Tremaine Edmonds. He thinks the Colts are looking for a defensive playmaker, and the linebacker unit is lacking in that respect. Chris Ballard, the general manager, was in Chicago in Brian Urlacher's prime and could be influenced by Edmonds' similarities.
That's when I did that piece with Ike Reese, looking at those linebackers. Ike had made the mention, like, there's not a lot of guys that play at middle linebacker with his size and speed. The last one I've seen do it was Brian Urlacher. So he would not be the only one to make that comparison, for sure. So interesting pick there for Indy, number six. I think that makes sense for Quentin Nelson. I think they're another team that I think would be looking to trade down as well.
That's the common theme with a lot of the reporters we reach out to, especially as we're getting to this end of the top 10, early teen area. Is they all like, if a quarterback's still there, we're a trade down candidate. We're a trade down candidate. So it's going to be fascinating because every team is looking to trade down. What's going to happen with the market there? It remains to be seen. So, number seven, Jenna Lane does a phenomenal job covering the Bucks for ESPN. You can follow her on Twitter at Jenna Lane ESPN. Goes with Florida State safety, hybrid linebacker, put him where you will, Derwin James. The Bucks have needs at cornerback and safety after surrendering the most passing yards in the league over the last 2 years, over 250 per game, and more yards per game than any other team last year. In this scenario, Lane told me, the Bucks would give careful consideration to Denzel Ward of Ohio State, but James really fits what the Bucks need, which is an impact strong safety to pair with last year's second-round pick Justin Evans. Evans is rangy, has terrific ball skills, and can play deep center field. James can play more of an enforcer role close to the line of scrimmage while still having some of the interchangeability that the Bucks want. And a little, peek behind the curtain here.
Yes.
So we're reaching out to reporters, and, it's draft week. There's pre-draft press conferences. You're trying to schedule time with reporters where you can catch them. You're waiting for picks to come in. So sometimes someone doesn't get back to you right away, and you're kind of like, you don't want to hold the whole process up, so you're trying to reach out to other reporters. So ended up hearing back from three Bucks reporters, also from Greg Allman from the Tampa Bay Times. You can follow him on Twitter at Greg Allman, and Scott Reynolds from Pewter Report at Pewter Report. They all go with Derwin James.
No surprise.
So
makes me feel good about my mock draft pick.
It does, which, and again, something to check out on PhiladelphiaEagles.com, the Fran mock draft. And, of course, for Eagles fans, you get to make the choice at number 32, which is best of all. So it's interesting when all the people who are connected locally are aligned with the same vision in terms of what they think the team will do. So Derwin James goes in the top 10, number 7 to the Bucks.
So with number 8, I talked with Dan Durkin from The Athletic in Chicago, the original Athletic in Chicago. You can follow him on Twitter at DJ Durkin, D-U-R-K-I-N. And with that 8th pick, he thinks the Bears would select Roquan Smith. Now, he said that he feels they would be torn between Roquan Smith and Denzel Ward in that scenario. He also believes that would be an ideal trade-down spot for a team that would cover the quarterback. In this case, Josh Rosen is still on the board, so he feels like they would definitely look to trade down and potentially move down a bit, grab some more picks. Remember, Chicago traded up last year to get their quarterback, Mitchell Trubisky, so they're trying to recover some picks as well. He says, though, that they would absolutely take Quentin Nelson if he were on the board. So that matchup has been made in a lot of different mock drafts across the country. If Quentin Nelson's there, it feels like that's kind of his floor as number 8 to Chicago.
I mean, they hired his Notre Dame's O-line coach.
And they cut their starting left guard.
Yeah.
He plugs right in. So Dan Durkin goes with Roquan Smith. I think that makes a ton of sense. They definitely have a hole in the middle of that defense.
All right. So number 9, the San Francisco 49ers. The pick is being made by Matt Maiocco from NBC Sports Bay Area. You can follow him on Twitter at Maiocco NBCS. And, a couple different options here where he's thinking but he goes with the rangy, talented young linebacker, Tremaine Edmonds, from Virginia Tech. Matt's explanation is the Niners are in a position in which they can simply take the best player they consider to be the best on their board. John Lynch, the general manager, believes there are 12 players he views as future Pro Bowl players. Therefore, the Niners would likely be more than happy to trade back to grab more picks, which is a common theme here. Could there be a deal with Buffalo if Josh Rosen is still available, he notes. If the Niners remain in this slot, the choice comes down to Edmonds or Minkah Fitzpatrick. Edmonds gets a call due to his unlimited potential and his ability to play all linebacker positions because the Niners are not counting on the return of Reuben Foster, whose status remains in limbo as he faces two felony domestic violence charges and one felony charge of possession of an assault weapon.
It's a loaded last part of that, for sure.
Yes.
And look, Tremaine Edmonds has an extremely high ceiling. I think he's a huge risk to take in the top 10 just based off of the film.
Your piece covered it brilliantly with Ike Reese.
You kind of see what the questions are, but his ability, his natural God-given talent is very, very impressive. So it wouldn't shock me at all to see him go this high. I still think that he's not going to go that high. But look, San Francisco, we saw Indianapolis, Stephen Holder mentioned that he'd be a sleeper pick for them as well, at number six. So
it becomes a need. Reuben Foster thing, I think, kind of pushes
that
it up. So.
Sure, no question. All right, so number 10, Oakland. We stay in the Bay Area. I talked with John Middlecoff, who covers both Bay Area teams out there. John Middlecoff, former Eagles scout. He now works with The Athletic. He does stuff with the Colin Cowherd podcast network. You can follow him on Twitter at John Middlecoff. He goes with Minkah Fitzpatrick, the defensive back from Alabama. And I'll tell you what, this pick, I think, is very interesting and really helps shape what happens in the 10 to 20 range, because I had a lot of trouble figuring out what's going on. Anytime you have a new coach, I think it kind of clouds things. You don't know their overall vision and what they prioritize and things like that.
Certainly.
Especially when he's given personnel control, which it seems like John Gruden has the final say over what they've got out there currently in terms of Reggie McKenzie being the general manager and the rest of that personnel staff. That kind of clouds everything. And so, looking back at what Reggie McKenzie's done during his tenure, it's almost moot. You almost throw it out the window because it seems like John Gruden is the one making the final call. I ended up going with Calvin Ridley in mine, but again, like Tremaine Edmonds, maybe Minkah Fitzpatrick, maybe Denzel Ward, maybe. I mean, there's all these different directions that they could go, and I think that helps kind of get the rest of the dominoes flowing here for picks 11, 12, 13, 14.
All right, so number 11. Miami Dolphins, very interesting.
This is a very interesting one.
This is a very interesting one, okay. Ryan Tannehill, coming off the knee injury, has injured it twice in the last couple seasons. A lot of questions about his future. Josh Rosen is sitting there on the board. The Miami Dolphins don't have to move an inch, pick, or anything. Armando Salguero from the Miami Herald goes Vita Vey from University of Washington, the nose tackle, basically an Ndamukong Suh replacement. Armando, his first note here, so obviously Josh Rosen is there. So in this case, he would either pick him or Vita Vey, but most likely they try to trade down and sell the pick to a QB-needed team. The Rosen concussion history is a concern. Would have preferred the linebackers, Tremaine Edmonds or Roquan Smith.
Yep.
So similar situation with Tampa Bay. Had reached out to a couple of reporters. Omar Kelly from the South Florida Sun Sentinel at Omar Kelly on Twitter had gotten back to me with Denzel Ward as the pick here at number 11. So the Dolphins don't have a glaring need, but Ward is viewed as one of the elite prospects in the 2018 draft and would immediately come in and push Cordarius Tankersley and Bobby McCain for their starting spots, which could improve the secondary that allowed quarterbacks to produce a 94.8 passer rating last season. Add that in with Dolphins general manager Chris Greyer believes in selecting the top-rated player on his board in the early rounds, and Ward would fit that philosophy. So, but for the purpose of our draft here, Armando got in a little bit before Omar, so we're going with Vita Vey moving forward.
That's a pick that people have made, especially with Ndamukong Suh out of the picture there in Miami. That is the pick that a lot of people have made. I still find it hard to believe that they would pass on Josh Rosen. We've been hearing about the connection between Rosen and the Dolphins going back to before the combine. So that would be very interesting to see if they were to pass on him.
All right, so number 12, the Buffalo Bills, Sal Majorana from the Democrat and Chronicle at Sal Majorana on Twitter. sitting there at 12, the Buffalo Bills, look, they made the trade earlier this offseason to move up, to put themselves in position like the Eagles in 2016 to get a quarterback, and they don't have to make step two here, and they sit and get Josh Rosen from UCLA. Sal says if this were to happen and Rosen fell to the Bills without them having to trade up and forfeit many high picks, they'd be thrilled. This past year, accruing draft capital has been all about drafting a quarterback. This would be the Bills' dream scenario.
My feeling is that if Rosen were falling, that they wouldn't allow him to fall to him. They
wouldn't
make
wait.
A move.
Somebody's
they wouldn't
move.
Wait.
But of course,
that's not able to happen here.
So
yes, dream scenario.
Yes.
13. Washington. I talked with Ben Standig from NBC Washington. You can follow him on Twitter at Ben Standig. And Ben is actually someone who was just highlighted as being one of the best mock drafters over the last couple of years.
Really?
In terms of his accuracy. So okay. I've known Ben now for a couple of years. Ben goes with Denzel Ward, the corner from Ohio State. Was not expecting him to be there. He thinks that if he were there, that Washington would pull the trigger and he would be the selection. So I asked him, I said, all right, so since this is an unlikely scenario, Denzel Ward falling to 13, who do you think would be the target? And he says that it would be De'Ron Payne, the nose tackle from Washington or from Alabama.
You love De'Ron.
I love De'Ron Payne. I'd hate to see him there in Washington. I told Ben that. Or one of the safeties, Minka or Derwin James, if they were to fall. We've heard lots about the Vita Vea connection as well. So he did say that would be the in the cards as well. Although he thinks that it would be Payne over Vea.
All right. So number 14, Green Bay Packers.
Green Bay Packers. So I talked with Aaron Nagler. You can follow him on Twitter at Aaron Nagler, N-A-G-L-E-R. He writes for PackersNews.com. Not expecting this player to be here, and he said it's almost a boring selection because it's just such a slam dunk. And that's Harold Landry, the pass rusher from Boston College. He would have gladly pulled the trigger on Denzel Ward had he fallen one more slot. And this is what I thought was interesting. He said that Washington taking Denzel Ward illustrates why he thinks the Green Bay Packers may trade up to take either Ward or Minka Fitzpatrick. The Redskins share a lot of similar needs as the Green Bay Packers. He thinks that they would think really long and hard as well about Vita Vea if he were to fall to them and they missed out on one of those corners. So I thought that was very interesting as well.
Also interesting that he's thinking Harold Landry's gone by this point because Harold Landry has not really been. It makes perfect sense in terms of positional value and that after Bradley Chubb, you know, Harold Landry is, you know, 2017 season was injured. Tape isn't as great, but 2016 was very productive. You have Marcus Davenport, who's has all the tools, the physical tools, but has to kind of put it all together. There's a pretty big drop off, it seems, after that. So if you need an edge rusher, you've got to get one of these guys. So it's going to push it up a little bit. So number 15, Kent Summers, who covers the Arizona Cardinals for AZ Central Sports. You can follow Kent on Twitter at Kent Summers. For the Cardinals, he goes with a wide receiver. Calvin Ridley from Alabama is the first wide off the board. Quite simply, Kent says they don't have a proven receiver behind Larry Fitzgerald and obviously no one to take over when Fitzgerald, who turns 35 in August, retires. And he admits it could be as soon as next season. Other possibilities, DJ Moore, you know, doesn't know how the Cardinals have really Moore rated. Lamar Jackson, the quarterback, is in play here, he says. The team hasn't drafted a quarterback higher than the fourth round since Matt Leinart, who went 10th overall in 2006. So all this discussion about past USC quarterbacks, Sanchez and Leinart. And, of course, he says we all know how fragile Sam Bradford has been. Cornerbacks Jair Alexander and Mike Hughes also make sense. They've been looking for a starter opposite Patrick Peterson for years. Bottom line, he says it's a team with a lot of needs that can go in a lot of different directions. But here, for our reporter mock draft extravaganza, Ken Summers gives the Arizona Cardinals Calvin Ridley.
My guess would be that the Baltimore Ravens would not be happy because I think Ozzie Newsome would love to be able to take one of his Alabama guys again, and Calvin Ridley, huge position of need. So the pick goes to number 16 now. Jeff Zrebeck from the Baltimore Sun. You can follow him on Twitter at Jeff Zrebeck, Z-R-E-B-I-E-C. He goes to the pass rusher, our second and three picks. Marcus Davenport, the edge rusher from Texas San Antonio. He thinks that the other player that they would consider in this scenario would be Mike McGlinchey, the tackle from Notre Dame. They could potentially pull the trigger on DJ Moore as well, but he thinks that it's more likely that they trade back a little bit into the low 20s, which they would really like to do to select Moore. So it would be interesting to see which direction they do ultimately try and go. They just took a tackle from Notre Dame a couple years ago in Ronnie Stanley. Yep. Marcus Davenport, though, you mentioned that huge drop-off in pass rusher. I don't know that Marcus Davenport is the 16th best player in the draft, but if you need that pass rusher, he's a top 25 player in the draft. I think you might bump him up a few spots to make sure that you get your guy.
You wonder, is Lamar Jackson in play here? Does Ozzie Newsome, it's last year's GM?
Maybe.
Say, for the future type situation. Could be a lot of fun there. But Davenport, the pick there for the Ravens at 17. Another team that, immediate concern at quarterback, no, but down the road with Phil Rivers.
Sure.
We don't know. Dan Wojcicki covers the Chargers for the LA Times. You can follow him on Twitter at Dan Wojcicki Sports. He goes with Dayron Payne.
My guy.
From Alabama. I mean, that defensive line, Bosa and Ingram, you're adding Payne to the mix. It's going to be wreaking some havoc there. Defense looking nice there in Los Angeles.
Yeah, and that was one thing, watching the Chargers a lot last year when we were preparing to play them early in the season, they were so bad against the run inside. I mean, those guys just could not hold up. The linebacker level ended inside a D-tackle. Corey Legit's going to be suspended in the first few weeks of the season.
Good thing to note. Yeah.
Payne makes a ton of sense there. Number 18, Seattle. I talked to Danny Kelly from The Ringer. I just had him on the Eagle Eye in the Sky podcast a few weeks back after the Michael Bennett trade. You can follow him on Twitter at Danny B. Kelly. And he thinks he cannot see the Seattle Seahawks passing on tackle Mike McGlinchey from Notre Dame. He did think about Josh Jackson, Will Hernandez, the guard from UTEP, Josh Sweat, the pass rusher from Florida State. Talk about pass rushers getting bumped up the board. He thinks it's a huge reach for Josh Sweat, but it's Seattle. They're gonna go off their board. Athletic freak for sure. But with the uncertainty around Earl Thomas as well, Justin Reed would make some sense too. So that's very interesting. Go with Justin Reed in the top 20. And he said, Danny's got all kinds of whispers. Some whispers about Billy Price, the offensive lineman from Ohio State as well. But they go with the tackle, Mike McGlinchey, a player who many think is the best tackle in the draft. He goes number 18 to Seattle in our mock.
All right, so we've seen the Giants make a pick. We've seen Washington make a pick. Now time for the Dallas Cowboys to
come
on the clock.
So I talked with Bob Stern from 1310 The Ticket down in Dallas. He covers the team for The Athletic in Dallas and Dallas-Fort Worth. You could follow him on Twitter at SportsSturm. And Bob goes with a linebacker, Rashawn Evans, not Leighton Vander Esch. He goes with Rashawn Evans, and a shocker. So I asked, what's going on here? And he says, all right, Leighton Vander Esch and Maurice Hurst are very close here, as is the guard from Georgia, Isaiah Wynn. I asked him about the injuries regarding Leighton Vander Esch and Maurice Hurst and the medical concerns. Is that the issue? He said it's tough to say, particularly on Leighton Vander Esch, but with Jalen Smith's status, it seems like he's ready to play. The move to play more three linebacker sets this year. Remember, Seattle's defensive coordinator, Chris Richard, got fired in Seattle. He's now the D-backs coach there in Dallas, and it seems like he's going to play a pretty big role in terms of the defensive game plan. He thinks they'll be more in base personnel. And with Jalen Smith kind of being up in the air from a medical standpoint, I think he thinks that they might back off any guys that have some kind of medical concern. So he goes with Rashawn Evans. Didn't really have those same kind of concerns coming out of college. I think he did miss a game or two this year. I think it was a hamstring injury or something like that. But he says, maybe I'm wrong and the pick is Vander Esch, but he thinks it's very close, closer than people think, and they are painfully thin at linebacker. So he expects that it would be Vander Esch or Rashawn Evans with Maurice Hurst and Isaiah Wynn as close backup plans. But Rashawn Evans, the linebacker from Alabama, goes number 19.
Haven't seen that one.
No.
Haven't seen that one a whole lot.
That would be a big one. That would be a shocker.
Number 20. Matt Patricia, new head coach in Detroit.
So I talked with Jeff Risden, who is an ESPN 961 out in Detroit, also covers the Texans and another team, I think, for the Draft Wire. But you can follow him on Twitter at Jeff Risden. He goes with Isaiah Wynn the offensive lineman from Georgia. The four guys that, and he said, he told me, he's like, and I'll tell you, man, this is a terrible board for the Detroit Lions. He thinks the four players he believes the Detroit Lions all want are gone, and that's the two big pass rushers, Harold Landry and Marcus Davenport, Rashawn Evans, and then Dayron Payne. He thinks those are the four in some kind of order for Detroit. His best guess that if it were to go this way, that the pick would be Isaiah Wynn in this scenario.
Interesting that he thinks that Evans goes here. So that basically, if you want Evans, you've got to get into the top 20.
So to make sure you get him.
To make sure you get him, exactly. That's the biggest takeaway from here, from that standpoint.
That's very interesting.
So number 21.
21.
The Cincinnati Bengals.
So I talked with Joe Goodberry from The Athletic. We've had Joe on before to make the pick for the Bengals. Joe does a great job covering them, and now he just got hired by The Athletic in Cincinnati. Joe, you can follow on Twitter, at Joe Goodberry, goes with the center, Frank Ragnow. Now, I labored over this selection during my mock draft because I was so close between Frank Ragnow and James Daniels, and I'm going back and forth, and I'm like, you can make cases for both and what the connections are, and that, you know. But I ended up going with Lamar Jackson anyway because I felt, you know, hey, they had him visit late. But I was like so close between the two centers, and then I'm sitting there looking at him like, you know what, they just had Lamar Jackson visit late last week, and the last 2 years they've had their first round pick visit very late in the process. So I thought I'm going to go with Lamar Jackson here. But with Lamar Jackson still on the board, Joe Goodberry bypasses the quarterback, goes with Frank Ragnow. Said they like that he played in the SEC. I did mention that in the mock draft, that that's one of the things. Marvin Lewis loves taking players from the SEC, loves taking players from the SEC. So he likes that they played in the SEC. He can move around. He's got guard center versatility. He's shown power. He's got athleticism. They have a first-round grade on James Daniels as well, and they could pick him. And I asked about Lamar Jackson. He said they do like him, but he thinks that there would have to be some wild run on centers in the top 20 for them to not go with Ragnow or James Daniels.
Which is going to be very interesting because it's one of the strongest positions in this draft class. And there are some thoughts that, well, you know, Quentin Nelson will go in the top 8. After that, you can wait till the second round. You can get your Will Hernandezes or, you know, Isaiah Wynn potentially. Obviously not the case here. I'm trying to think, Austin Corbett. You know, there's a number of guys you probably get in that second round, third round. May not be the case.
I mean, if what Joe's saying is right and that they would, if they view Lamar Jackson as a player that's worthy of taking in the top 21 of the draft and they would rather take a center, that's ludicrous to me. But we'll find out.
We will see. So 22, the Buffalo Bills back on the clock again. They already got their quarterback in Josh Rosen. That alone is worth celebrating. They didn't have to give up their second first-round pick. Sal Majorana makes the pick once again, and he's going to go with Leighton Vander Esch from Boise State. Says the Bills need two linebackers, and they cannot pass on an athletic three-down player. Pretty cut and dry at that point.
Yeah, a little bit sad because I was hoping he would fall to the Eagles at 32.
Well, you figure Sean McDermott's probably looking for his Luke Kuechly.
Yep, and that would make sense.
That would be a good pick there.
He's better than the 22nd pick. To me, like, he's fell because of, you know, questionable medical. All right, so for this 23rd pick, we've got Ben Volen. Up in New England, a great reporter there covering the Patriots. Used to be down in Miami.
I actually wanted to say Palm Beach Post. It was the first thing that came to mind, but
not Palm Beach Post anymore. But he goes with a player from his old neck of the woods.
Ooh.
Selects defensive tackle Taven Bryan from Florida.
I thought it might be Antonio Callaway. But
it wasn't Callaway. But no, you go Taven Bryan there at 23. Really, really felt strongly about Lamar Jackson and the possibility of Lamar Jackson here at number 23. So went back and forth on it, actually gave me the name Taven Bryan, then emailed me back later and said, oh, you know, can we go back to, can I actually switch it to Lamar Jackson? By that point, it was a little late for it.
Don't give away. Come on.
I don't want to tip the hand too much, but Lamar Jackson, not available for him by the time he emailed me back. So Taven Bryan goes off the board there to New England at 23.
Once you hand in the card,
it's
done. It's a done deal.
He wrote it in pen.
On this mock draft extravaganza podcast. All right, so Taven Bryan off the board. The Carolina Panthers are up at number 24, and Joe Person does a phenomenal job covering the Panthers.
No question.
He goes with Jair Alexander at Louisville. You figure, look, they've been trying to rebound from losing Josh Norman the last couple seasons. You know, they invested in a couple of corners that following draft, but haven't really hit a premium talent there. Alexander gives you that inside-outside flexibility and versatility that everyone covets.
I feel like this is a wide receiver or DB. To me, like, DJ Moore to Carolina at 24 makes a ton of sense. So it was interesting to see that he went with Jair over DJ Moore there.
All right. Now, a little bit of a surprise here. Paul Kuharsky. It does a great job. He's on the 180 Midday Show down there in Nashville.
This isn't Lamar Jackson, is it?
No. They already got Mario. They exercised a fifth-year option on him. That's, you know. They go with an edge rusher. And we talked about, Fran, how you want those edge guys, the top edge guys, you're going to need to get into the teens at the latest, okay?
You want to get those top three.
Exactly. Josh Sweat.
Wow.
Out of Florida State is off the board at number 25. Now, granted, he did say if Leighton Vander Esch were there, he'd be in play, but Vander Esch is gone in our mock here, so Josh Sweat is the pick here. And this is a name that you've heard some rumblings because of the edge rusher class.
Sure.
As a possible surprise day one pick, but we haven't really talked about him a whole lot on the podcast. What's your scouting report of him?
He's got good size. He's very athletic. You can see that on film. This kid has really good movement skills. He's got the ability to win off the ball. Just not a very polished pass rusher. His pass rush plan right now is not where it needs to be, especially for a guy that in this case would be going in the top 25. Needs a lot of work there, but also was not used in a way at Florida State that, you know, a top-end pass rusher would be used. You know, he was asked to two-gap a little bit. He would line up as a five technique at times. So was miscast a little bit in that scheme, but very athletic. Was, I believe, the number one defensive end recruit coming out of high school. So he was a big-time recruit. The potential is all there, but injuries have kind of hurt him. He was banged up over the last couple of years, and obviously the production also was not always great.
All right, so Josh Sweat off the board at 25 to the Titans. The Atlanta Falcons, the team that will visit Lincoln Financial Field to kick off the 2018 NFL season on Thursday, September 6th. We have D. Orlando Ledbetter from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. D. Led making the pick for the Falcons, and the Dirty Birds take Mo Hurst, defensive tackle out of Michigan.
The slide ends.
Yeah, the slide ends. Well, the question is the reason for the slide, and how far will the slide take place come Thursday night, or will there be a slide at the end of the day? But I know you consider him right in the range of a top 10 prospect. Do you have him as a top 10 prospect in this year's class?
If he's not top 10, I have to look at my notes. If he's not top 10, he's just outside.
Right,
I mean,
there.
When you have a disruptive three-technique defensive tackle, those guys aren't easy to find, and he definitely is that. I think he could be a little bit better than he is right now. There are some issues that I have with him in his play that I think keep him from definitely being inside my top 10, but extremely disruptive player. And the tricky part with medicals, Chris, as you know, is every team's going to view it differently. There's no universal medical grade, so some teams may have him off the board. Other teams may be perfectly fine and will think that they got a great player, in this case, number 26 overall, and he would fit the way that Atlanta wants to play. By the way,
there was
a report today from D. Orlando Ledbetter that they are all in on Dayron Payne, and they may trade up to get Dayron Payne, and he would be a perfect fit.
Interesting you mentioned that, because D. Led said that if not, actually the first choice was Taven Bryan.
Yep, and so, I can see that too. He fits perfectly as well.
So they want interior disruptor right there, and you certainly get that with Mo Hurst. So Mo Hurst off the board to the Falcons at 26.
So at 27, we go down to New Orleans. I talked to Nick Underhill, who does a great job covering the team down there. Nick Underhill goes
Let's see. Wide receiver. Doesn't Drew Brees need more weapons?
Wide receiver, defense. You could talk about a number of different areas there. Offensive line, maybe kind of beef it up front a little bit. No. Lamar Jackson, quarterback from Louisville.
Whoa!
The Saints get their next quarterback after missing out on Patrick Mahomes last year. So Nick alluding to the fact that they would have really liked to get the talented passer from Texas Tech last year. Sean Payton has talked about how he will need to redesign elements of his offense around the skills of his next quarterback. It would be fascinating to see what he comes up with for Lamar Jackson.
Fifth
quarterback off the board, Lamar Jackson goes to the New Orleans Saints.
Crusher for the Eagles.
Yes.
That's a crusher for the Eagles. The Eagles would love to have Lamar Jackson sitting there at 32. Not for them, but for a team to trade up to get him and get that fifth-year option. So not a good situation there for the Eagles. All right, Well, number 26, the Pittsburgh, or sorry, 28, moving numbers around here, with the 28th selection, the Pittsburgh Steelers, they're going to make the pick courtesy of Ray Fittipaldo of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. You can follow him on Twitter at Ray Fitt with two T's and the number one. Goes with a player who's been linked to the Eagles, Justin Reed out of Stanford.
Versatile safety. He's got the ability to play single high down near the box in the slot, outside of corner. He did all of that at the college level. I don't know that he's going to do all of that necessarily in the NFL at a very high level, but a guy that certainly has that versatility. I like his ball skills down the field. He's got a lot going for him, and not surprised to see him go this high. And as we said earlier, there are teams that are in the high teens that are talking about Justin Reed, so it'll be interesting to see how high he goes on Thursday night.
All right, so up next, the Jacksonville Jaguars, yeah, who the Eagles will see overseas.
That's right. So I talked with Mike Kay, a guy that Eagles fans may be familiar with. He covers the Jacksonville Jaguars down there in Florida. And when I talked to him, there were a few different ways he was thinking about going. He ultimately goes with the tight end Hayden Hurst from South Carolina. Connor Williams, he said, would be his backup plan if he decided not to go with Hurst. He said the primary targets for Jacksonville, and these make sense, Mike McGlinchey, the tackle from Notre Dame, and Isaiah Wynn, the offensive lineman from Georgia, both kind of fit that mentality from Tom Coughlin, so I wasn't surprised to hear him say that. He thinks Justin Reed would have made some sense as well. But this team, and this is what he said, this team is in win-now mode. Because I asked him about Lamar Jackson. I said, if he had fallen to you two picks ago, he went. But if he had fallen to you, would you have thought about it? He said, this team is in win-now mode. They want an immediate piece to add to this roster. So they go with Hayden Hurst to help further that offensive tack with Blake Bortles.
Sounds like they're going to be moving on up like the Jeffersons. Oh. If they want to get one of those players that they alluded to.
Moving on up.
So number 30. We all thought that this might be the NFL kickoff event, but we'll just have to wait for a midseason clash.
That's right.
Between the Eagles and the Vikings at the link, a rematch of the NFC Championship game. So the Vikings are on the clock with the 30th overall selection. Fran, you do the honors on this one.
Yep. So, all right, so with the 30th pick, I went out to Minnesota. We got Jordan Reed. You can follow him on Twitter. And this guy, he puts out a lot of really interesting information, especially if you're a draft fan. You could follow him on Twitter at J Reed, R-E-I-D, Draft Scout. And Jordan is going to go with offensive lineman Will Hernandez, the guard from UTEP. He thought about Connor Williams as well. Jair Alexander and Maurice Hurst were the other options. If they were available, obviously both of those, Jair Alexander and Maurice Hurst, both off the board. But looks like offensive line there from Minnesota.
Well, I mean, you invest all that money in Kirk Cousins, you know the Eagles' pass rush is going to be bringing it once again. You got to make sure you protect that investment. All right, so number 31, the next to last pick of the first round, the Patriots are back on the board once again. They missed out on Lamar Jackson.
Missed out on Lamar.
You know, this would have been the spot for him. So
could they go with Mason Rudolph?
Will they?
No.
Oh.
They're going offensive line. They're going Colton Miller, left tackle from UCLA guy, athletic tackle. This kid is kind of a physical marvel because he's 6'9", but he's a great athlete. He's got great feet, can play both right and left side. So New England adds some reinforcements to that offensive line. We don't know what's going on at left tackle. They drafted Antonio Garcia, but he missed the season with a medical issue. Obviously, they let go of their longtime left tackle, who's now with the New York Giants. So I think that when you look at New England, some tackle depth absolutely could be in the cards for them at some point in this draft.
All right, so a little bit later, we're going to bring on the legend himself, Tommy Lawlor. He'll be our Mr. Relevant, and he'll make the selection for the Eagles at number 32. We'll give him whatever's left on the board. But first, we're going to narrow down our favorite options in our Pick 6 segment.
Now it's time for Pick 6.
Pick 6, six candidates for the Eagles with a 32nd overall selection based on who's been selected in our reporter mock draft extravaganza. So
I think we should go through the options and say, like, here's all the players that I think are worthwhile of being, you know, that are on the board right now. Because there's some good players right now.
There are very good players. This actually, I was kind of making a joke a few picks ago when Lamar Jackson came off the board. That was a bad situation for the Eagles. Yes, it would be. But, you know, there's a lot of debate about whether or not the Eagles will stay at 32 or trade back. There's a lot of options here where I think the Eagles end. I believe at the end of the day, if the board falls out like this, I would want them to stay. Unless it depends on how far back they would have to move.
Sure.
I think that's the consideration. If you have to move back, you know, five picks or so and you pick up a fourth round pick, you probably do that.
Well, that's the thing, I guess, is the argument is that here in this scenario, like we mentioned, there are a handful of players that we'd feel happy with at the 32nd pick. So
indeed,
in this scenario, if you do have the ability to move back five picks, you might take that opportunity.
Yes.
Because there, you feel pretty good that you'd get – I mean, we're going to highlight six players, but Darius Geis, Ronald Jones, Sony Michel, DJ Moore, Christian Kirk, Cortland Sutton, Mike Gesicki, Dallas Goedert, you know, the offensive line, you got James Daniels is still there, Connor Williams, Tyrell Crosby, Billy Price, secondary with Mike Hughes. I love Mike Hughes, Josh Jackson,
Dante Jackson's still there.
Isaiah Oliver, Ronnie Harrison. I mean, some good players on the board here that, you know, would be available for the Eagles in this scenario. So this is what you're talking about in terms of saying, okay, they could trade down.
I'm kind of talking myself into it here, where I'm feeling like when you have this many good players here, I'd want to make sure I get a good player, but I see you're thinking where if you just rattle off 10 names, that if they fall back seven spots,
you're going to get one of them.
You'll still get one of them.
Now, so if they've got one of them, like for instance, like to me, there are two guys that stand out in terms of overall.
Well, let's get into pick six.
Getting me off track here. All right, here we go.
All right. My first pick here, I'm going to go with the running back, Darius Geis. You know, I love that smash-mouth mentality that he's going to bring to the Eagles' offense. We all know that Jay Ajayi is entering the last year of his rookie contract. You put Jay Ajayi, you put Darius Geis, Corey Clement, you know, and then you see how Danelle Pumphrey improves, what Wendell Smallwood can bring to the table. I think you round out the running back core nicely. I would understand the debate where fans might be like, you just won the Super Bowl with an undrafted rookie free agent, with a player you acquired for a fourth-round pick from the Dolphins at the trade deadline, and a player you acquired in free agency after the draft. It's a fair point.
Yep.
But you can kind of set the mentality for this offense moving forward. So you're not going year to year trying to hope that you can find something off the scavenger heap and be able to work it into your offense. You pretty much have the centerpieces, the core parts of your offense that you can work with moving forward here, putting Geis into the mix. So that's the first guy I would vouch for at number 32.
I'd be excited about Darius Geis and his addition to the backfield. I'm going to stay on offense, and I'm going to go with a player that really, you know, I watched right after the end of the season and was really excited by what I saw from him on film after he declared for the draft, and that's Maryland wide receiver DJ Moore. And I've said before that he is the prototype as a Z receiver on the outside. He can be moved around the formation, really good after the catch. I love the toughness and physicality that he brings to the game. He's pretty reliable at the catch point. He's still coming along as a route runner, but I think he's shown good flashes in that area. He's athletic. He's got the ability to stretch the field, but also work underneath over the middle. A lot of things to like about DJ Moore. He's a local kid, and everything I've heard about him off the field is A+. So I'd be excited about the addition of a DJ Moore, a guy that can come in, play with a Nelson Agholor and an Alshon Jeffrey and a Mac Hollins and Mike Wallace and these guys, not forced to be put right into the starting lineup, but a guy that can be brought along slowly. And then eventually you're starting to see him as a starter either inside or outside, and I think he's got that versatility. I'm a big fan of DJ Moore. And everything I just said about DJ Moore and the way that he fits, I can make the same argument about Christian Kirk from Texas A&M.
No,
I'm not going to pick him.
No.
I'm just saying I can make the same argument
for
Christian Kirk.
Fran, this is pick seven.
Pick seven. You know I do it every year.
Help yourself. Even when you were like, I want to read the options first. Like, remember, you're all day because he's going to read like the 20 names.
Well, because that's what I mean. You look at this draft, and we've always said like, oh, you know, this guy's probably not going to be there. But when you play it all out, there's going to be guys that fall.
There's a scenario where there are guys there, so. So DJ Moore and Christian Kirk, and you still have two more guys to come.
You got two more guys to come.
Fair enough. My second guy, I'm going to go in the secondary. And a lot of people might say, look, the Eagles have Sidney Jones coming back. Rasul Douglas was promising as a rookie. You've got Jalen Mills as a starter. You got Ronald Darby as a starter. You know, even though that they lost Darryl Worley, still the depth there is very promising. Why are you going to add someone else to the mix? Well, there's one hole right now, and that's the slot cornerback position. And there's no natural fit. Mike Hughes, I think, is a good ideal fit right there. Could play the slot, plays the outside as well. So you probably project him down the road at some point to be your outside guy, but also can bring you immediate help on special teams as a dynamic returner. tough and physical, you know, showed a lot of development during his time at Central Florida. You know, he's one of those players. We did the podcast where we said the players who would be too good to pass up at 32, I might have Mike Hughes in that category. So Mike Hughes is the second guy I'd be vouching for at number 32.
I love Mike Hughes. So I would love that pick as well. I was going to save this guy for the end, but I'm going to put him in there just because that way we could stay with the same position group. I think you could make the argument, you could, that Josh Jackson might be too good to pass up on. He does not have the same kind of inside-out versatility that a Mike Hughes does have, or a Jair Alexander, or some of these other guys. Josh Jackson is probably going to be an outside corner. He did play in the slot often at Iowa, especially on third down and man coverage, but they did something very specific with him where they played a lot of cover two man. So that allowed him to be a little bit more aggressive, and you know he wasn't left as much like on an island in the slot as some of these other guys. But I think when you look at Josh Jackson, you see a guy with size. His best football may be ahead of him because he's only been a corner now for a couple of years. He came there as a wide receiver, was extremely productive this year. Needs to get a little bit better against the run. That's a little bit of a concern with him, but excellent ball production in terms of finishing. I think he was number one in the league this year, or in the country this year, in interceptions with 8. Returned 2 or 3 for touchdowns. He is extremely productive this season. Very instinctive player for a guy who's only been, like I said, a corner for a couple of years. Good man, good in zone. He may be too good to pass up if you're going to go straight best player available. Now, you could also make the count, well, look, he'd be a guy that you kind of dangle and hope someone wants to trade up for as well. But Josh Jackson, you could do a lot worse. And especially at corner, you can never have enough of him.
All right, so my last guy here in our pick 7, I guess, 7 candidates for number 32, I'm going with the versatile interior lineman from Iowa. That's James Daniels, you know. Has guard experience, center experience as well, high football IQ, you know, kind of cliche about how technically sound the players are coming out of Iowa, being coached by Kirk Ferentz. I mean, I think Daniels fits the mold right here. And, again, you look at the offensive line as it's currently constructed, you don't need to plug him in on day one. He's a guy that you can mold for down the road. But in terms of the value, just how important with players like Taven Bryan, Mo Hurst, and Daron Payne being selected as high as they are, you know, Vita Vea in that conversation as well, teams are focusing on trying to create havoc in the middle of the field, understanding in the middle of the line, understanding that quarterbacks can get rid of the ball quickly and take the edge off the pass rushers flying off the end spots. You know, so you need to build up the interior of the line. You look at how well guards are being paid in the NFL nowadays. So it's a premium position. It's not something that's an afterthought anymore. So even though it's not the tackle position that's usually the sexy pick, interior line I'd be perfectly happy with, knowing that, you know, down the road that you are set at that spot for years to come. Whether he plays center, you know, way Jason Kelsey's been playing, you probably don't need a center. But guard, you know, you have depth there. Just across the board, I think it's a great value pick for the Eagles at 32.
Yeah, I love James Daniels. All three of you guys I really love, and Mike Hughes is, or DJ Moore as well. So there's 4 players that you could say like great picks, would be great value at 32. This player's not as good of a prospect as Daniels, but I could definitely make the argument that he is worth it at 32, and that's Connor Williams, the left tackle from Texas. A lot of people feel would be better at guard. I would say I'm probably in that discussion in terms of liking him a little bit more on the inside, but he definitely has the ability to play tackle at the NFL level. I love his toughness, his play personality. He's athletic. Has only played left tackle, but like I said, a lot of people do feel like he can make that transition inside. It's something he has talked about throughout the course of the process. I'd love to see him come in and be able to compete at guard right away, and then potentially out of tackle later on in his career. Connor Williams would be a player that I'd be excited about. And you talked about that position versatility. James Daniels gives you that inside versatility at guard and center. Williams gives you that at guard and tackle.
That's the biggest thing is Stoughton loves to have guys who have that positional versatility there along the offensive line. And, again, just great value. And this is a player who was, you know, early in the process was considered a mid-first-round pick. You know, so certainly there's questions about the arm length, how that'll transition to the next level, things like that nature. But to get him at 32, I mean, be a nice fit for the Eagles.
No question.
So 7 candidates.
Who's the most of that group? Who to you is the most surprising that to see them there?
Josh Jackson.
Yeah, me too.
Josh Jackson.
James Daniels too.
James Daniels too, but Josh Jackson with importance of corner, and Josh Jackson, some think that it's Denzel Ward and then Josh Jackson. Some people think Josh Jackson is CB1 in his draft class. So I would say of those guys, and just the way mocks have been going and reading the tea leaves through the whole process, I would say Josh Jackson is the one I'm most surprised still being available at this point. So who will the Eagles in our mock draft extravaganza reporter edition take? We're going to bring on Tommy Lawler, Fandemonium columnist, EaglesBlitz.com. He's going to make the selection for the Eagles up next.
It's time for Mr. Relevant.
All right, now our Mr. Relevant, Tommy Lawler himself, here to make the pick for the Eagles at number 32. We went through and listed all the options. So, Tommy, the floor is yours.
With the 32nd pick in the NFL draft, and boy, does it feel good to say that, the Philadelphia Eagles select Sony Michel, running back from the University of Georgia.
Ooh, running back, popular, trendy pick there. Going in a lot of mocks. Tommy, what's the reason behind the selection?
Well, part of it is value. Michelle's a terrific running back. Part of it is going to be an economic concern where, you know, over the next few years, the Eagles are going to have a lot of people to pay, and they're going to have to figure out where can they find real impact value. And if they could get a young running back to pair with Carson Wentz for the next 4 or 5 years at a set salary, there is going to be real value in that. And the other part of this is just that as explosive as the Eagles' offense was last year, the ground game could probably become even a little bit more explosive. If you think about some of the plays last year, there was the great run that Jay Ajayi had against Dallas, the 71-yarder he was caught from behind, and then there was a pass play in the Super Bowl with Corey Clement, or he was caught from behind. If you get a running back who's got a little bit more burst, sometimes those plays are going to go all the way, and you get like Sony Michel. He only ran in the 4-5 range at the combine, but if you put on his game tape, he doesn't get caught from behind a lot. This is a guy who can deliver chunk plays, and any NFL coach will tell you if you can get 10, 15, 20 yards at a time, that makes it all the much easier to drive down the field and score points. This is a guy who averaged 8 yards a carry in the SEC. That is something that really – this is a guy who can deliver impact plays, and as good as the Eagles' offense was last year, hey, they could be even better if they got more impact plays from the backfield.
So, Tommy, outside of Sony Michel, was there anybody else that you strongly considered? Who were some of the backups for you if you didn't go with Sony Michel?
Well, I certainly think you have to consider the tight ends. I'm a big fan of Hayden Hurst. I know Dallas Goedert would be a real interesting piece to add to the offense because he's such a dynamic receiver, and if you feel like he can become an effective blocker, that he would be really intriguing to add the offense now that Brent Celek is out of the picture. Obviously, there's a whole set of receivers you could look at. Cortland Sutton, Christian Kirk, DJ Moore. Any of these guys would be players that could really help the Eagles. Christian Kirk would be interesting because of his ability as a returner to offer impact as a rookie. The other guys would probably be players that would be more, you know, receivers than returners, but Kirk is an interesting player in that regard. We know Howie Roseman has said that sometimes when you draft receivers, you don't expect impact from them as rookies. You have to draft them essentially a year early. And it could be that the Eagles will need a wide receiver in 2019. So if they were to take a wide receiver this year, it really would be a pick for the future more than for immediate impact.
Tommy, my last question for you is this. Is there a player who went, you know, a little before the Eagles selection at 32 who you would have loved to have seen in Midnight Green?
There are so many players that are intriguing. I got to be honest with you, Will Hernandez is a guy that really fascinates me, the guard from UTEP. He looks exactly like what I think that Doug Peterson and Jeff Stoutland, the Eagles offensive line coach, when they talk about wanting big, physical, athletic offensive linemen, that's what I picture as Will Hernandez. And if you could draft him and plug him into left guard, and then you have Brandon Brooks, a huge guy in at right guard, the interior of the Eagles' line could be something special for the next 5-6 years. And I tell you, it would be fascinating to have a guy who, at the Senior Bowl, weighed 340, at the Combine was down to 327. He can pull. He can physically dominate the man across from him. And as we know with the NFL, pressure up the middle is the most dangerous. If you had a guy like him and a guy like Brooks to secure the middle and keep Carson Wentz upright, that would make this offense something to be feared for years to come.
Tommy Lawlor, make sure to read his Fandemonium columns here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com and the Eagles mobile app. Tommy, can't wait to read your recap of the Eagles and the 2018 NFL Draft.
Thank you very much. I can't wait till we do this in next year and we still have pick 32.
Again, you can follow Tommy on Twitter at Lawlor NFL. That's going to do it for our PhiladelphiaEagles.com reporter mock draft extravaganza here on the Journey to the Draft podcast. For Fran Duffy, I'm Chris McPherson. Everyone will be back on Monday to recap the 2018 NFL Draft.